happened. These events truly took place. And I'd have you consider what's written of Daniel in the, before we look here at chapter 6, what's written in the previous chapters. It was Daniel that had interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. King Nebuchadnezzar had walked into the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and later it came true, just as Daniel said. But Nebuchadnezzar walked there into the palace, and he said, "Is this not the great Babylon that I've built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty?" And we read that while the words were still in his mouth, before he even finished the sentence, you know what happened? A voice from heaven, said, "And O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." And for seven years, he was departed from men. He was out there in the field. He ate grass like the oxen. His hair grew out like eagle's feathers, and his nails looked like bird's claws, just as Daniel had said. But at the end of those days, we read Nebuchadnezzar, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. God revealed something to him. His understanding returned to him. And he blessed the Most High and praised and honored Almighty God. He said, "I praised him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will. And the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?" God's sovereign. God was revealed as sovereign to him. And then in chapter 5, we read again of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had a son named Belshazzar. And Daniel had reproved him. He had reproved that king of his pride and of his idolatry. Look just back a page there at Daniel 5. Look beginning with verse 18. Daniel said, "O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all the people, nations, languages, trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. Whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. When his heart was lifted up with pride, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he had appointed it over to whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar," you know, you'd think we would learn something from our fathers, but we don't, do we? No, not unless God's pleased to reveal it to us. "Thou hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." You saw all this, and yet you've not humbled your heart, "but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought thee vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, false gods, idols, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is." Consider that. You know, we think about it. We think about a lot of things, and occasionally, you know, we breathe. Our heart beats, and we breathe, and we rarely give that. We rarely even give that a second thought, do we? Do you see that? He said, "The God in whose hand thy breath is." Every one of us, that breath we just, God holds it in His hand. Job said the same thing over there in Job 12:10. He said, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." And it's his to give it. It's His to take it. In Him we live and move and have our being. God, in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Daniel tells the king, you didn't learn a thing. You didn't learn a thing from your father. And then he interprets that handwriting. The handwriting that came forth as the finger of a man over on that wall. He said the king's countenance changed when he did that. His heart was troubled. His loins loosed and his knees smote one another. I can remember the first time standing right here and so thankful that this was between me and you. Barely could keep my knees from knocking together. And that doesn't change much. His knees knocked together. And here was the writing. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. God hath numbered the kingdom, and He hath finished it. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Well, that's a description of all of us by nature, isn't it? Remember the old balances that put, this is the weight, that'd be level. We've all been weighed in the balance and found, we've come up short, haven't we? Found wanting. He said, "Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." And then that same night, that very same night, Belshazzar was slain. Well, that brings us here to chapter 6. Let's quickly. I tried to find just a portion of this to read, but let's read this chapter. Okay, you follow along. It pleased Darius, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king sought to set him over the whole realm. And then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find an occasion or fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Even evil men recognized this of Daniel. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." And then the presidents and the princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, they've consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew this, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. He didn't do anything different than he did before. And these men assembled, and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. And they said, "Have you not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of the lions? They knew what they were doing here, didn't they? And the king answered and said, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And then answered they, and they said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, he regardeth thee not, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. And when the king heard these words, he was sore displeased with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And then these men assembled unto the king, and they said unto the king, just in case you haven't forgotten, king, O king, the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth shall be changed. And then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And then the king went to his palace, and he passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and sleep went from him. And then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually, O able to deliver thee from the lions? And then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, wherever they came to the bottom of the den. And then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and befear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now men often read this passage of Scripture, and they speak of Daniel's faithfulness. And truly, Daniel was faithful. Someone wrote a song. They said, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Daniel didn't stand alone, did he? Daniel was upheld by the power of God. Daniel, like all believers, was kept by the power of God. Daniel said that, he said this to Darius. He said, God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. Daniel knew that. Daniel was aware of that. Daniel didn't stand alone any more than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood there in that fiery furnace. Remember what the king said? He said, we put 3 men in there. But lo, I see 4. One is like the Son of God. So in light of the gospel, in light of God's word, let's look at this passage, just a few points here this morning in this scripture. And first is this. The king established a law. The king established a law. Now, it was a foolish law, but nevertheless, it was a law. Now, God's law is not a foolish law, is it? God's law is perfect. That's what the scriptures declare. In Psalm 119, verse 7, concerning the law of God, it says it's perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Over in Luke 10, there was a lawyer that said this, "Master, what shall I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And our Lord replied, he said, "What's written in the law? If you're going to do this on your own, if this is something you're going to do, what's written in the law?" And he said, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself." The law says, this do and live. I don't know who looked this up. I read this somewhere that there's 613 commandments in the Old Testament. Let me ask you, would you keep the law? I can't remember. We'd do well to remember 10 of them, wouldn't we? Go back to the garden. Back there in Genesis 2. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree in the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge, of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." We don't need to be worried about 613 commandments. We can't keep one, can we? It wasn't long there before Eve took that fruit and gave to her husband, and Adam ate. There's a law. And to offend in one point, just one point, is to be guilty of the whole law. Second, the law cannot be changed. That's what we read here in our text this morning. Darius' law, it was a foolish law. But it can't be changed. And even Darius was reminded that according to the Medes and Persians, it altereth not. The law cannot be changed. I was thinking I've seen people in line at the grocery store with their kids, and they'll tell them before they get up there where all the candy is, "Don't ask for a piece of candy," right? We've probably all done that. You ask for a piece of candy, you're going to get it. What happens? Always ask for a piece of candy, right? And then what happens? Well, don't ask again. Huh? Three more. God's law is not that way. It doesn't change based on how we feel. God's law is the law. It altereth not. It changeth not. God's law is holy and just. God can't sacrifice the law. His holiness is at stake. His righteousness is at stake. Huh? Wherefore the law is holy. His commandments are holy. They're just and they're good. And God's law requires not just an outward obedience. We can go along with that, can't we? Outward obedience. It requires inward obedience. Huh? It requires absolute perfection. We read, "Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Have we ever been angry with a brother? How often? Angry with a brother without a cause. The law cannot be changed. There's no loopholes. There's no shortcuts. You kids, you said they have hacks, right? There's no hacks with God's law. It requires absolute perfection. "Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things written in the book of the law to do them." So we have the law. We have a law that cannot be changed. And here's the problem. We've broken, every one of us, we've broken God's law. Now again, King Darius' law was no one would question the fact that it was a wicked law. a foolish law. Darius would even admit to that. This law was a result of his pride. Those men around him buttered him up a little bit and convinced him that put him on a pedestal with this law. But Daniel broke that law. Now, rightfully so, he broke that law, but he broke the law. But God's law is to be kept. In this flesh, we've not kept his law. We're unable to keep his law. We cannot obey it perfectly. And that's what it requires, perfection. It must be perfect to be accepted. And sin is a transgression of that law. And that's what we are. We're transgressors. We're sinners. Workers of iniquity. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Here's a description here. Romans 3. So begin with verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they've not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty. You see that? Guilty before Almighty God. Back in Psalm 14, we read something very similar. It says this, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, any that would seek after God. What did he see? They're all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And we might like Darius. We read there that Darius labored. He labored to the going down of the sun. He tried to think of every way imaginable how he might save Daniel. And we could do the same, looking for a way of deliverance. And men do that. Men try to find ways in which they can deliver themselves by their works, by their deeds, by their so-called righteous acts, but there is no righteousness apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no escaping the consequence of sin by all of our labors. No escaping the condemnation of a holy law by our deeds. It's just not going to happen. God must and he will carry out the sentence of judgment against sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Fourth, we read this in our text, thy God, he will deliver. It doesn't say he'll attempt to deliver, he'll try to deliver, he wants to deliver, if you'll do this or that. No, it says he will. He will deliver. He will deliver. Daniel 6, verse 16. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Darius couldn't find a way to deliver. The law, it can't deliver. It can only pronounce me guilty. By the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. Man can't deliver. Our best efforts, our best attempt at righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of Almighty God. But listen, Almighty God honored his law. He satisfied his justice. Listen, he's the just and the justifier of sinners. We read, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, to be a sin offering that sin that has to be paid. And the Lord Jesus Christ stood in our place. He bore the penalty of our sin. God has set forth Him to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness. The very righteousness of God for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God to declare at this time His righteousness that He might be just and justifier of him which believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us, to redeem His people, to redeem those who are under the law. And by His perfect obedience to the law, and by His sacrifice, that righteousness which was His, He imputes to His people. We're made. We're made something. He was made something He wasn't. He was made to be sin. We're made something that we could never be. Made righteous. Not by outward deeds, but made righteous by God Himself, by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel said this, God sent His angel. Who did? God did. God sent His angel. He shut the lion's mouth. And there's no hurt in me. Innocency was found in me. There's only one way there's innocency found in anyone. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. God delivered us. Going down into that, just as He did Daniel, going down into that den of lions for us. What's that passage? Deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. He took our place. He was made sin. Made sin for us. He knew no sin. He was made sin that we might be made the very righteousness of God in Him. We sing that hymn, Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. And look how he was found. No manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed God. Daniel was delivered. You know, back in that day, can you imagine that ever be the ending of that story? When folks said Daniel's going down in, the king's going to put him down in that den of lions. Those lions probably hadn't been fed for months. There's no hope for Daniel, is there? There is if God's his Savior. And that's true for us. The only hope we have is in Him. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. He is able to deliver. And let me just say this in closing. And just thinking about this this morning. You know, these men, they meant this for evil. Those governors and presidents, they meant this for evil. They wanted rid of Daniel. That was in their heart. They had no desire for him to be delivered. They wanted him rid of, out of the way. And they purposed to do this. Just like Joseph's brethren. They wanted rid of him. Remember that? But Joseph said this. Joseph said to his brethren, he said, you meant this for evil. But God meant it. God meant it for good. Just like Haman. Remember, Haman he hated Mordecai. And he built those gallows so high that everybody around could see him. And it was his purpose to hang him on those gallows. Just like at Calvary. All those that were there, they had one desire. And that was to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, to destroy him, to put him out of business. But what do we read? him. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You've taken him by wicked hands, crucified and slain. But in doing that, they accomplished God's purpose. So no matter, I don't know a lot, but I know this. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what it might be, and what it might appear to be, God's going to accomplish his purpose. God's going to save his people. Daniel 6, he delivereth, and he rescueth, and he worketh with signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, and hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. He'll do the same. He's done the same for his people. He is able. He is able. He will deliver his people. All right. God bless his word.